AU.
For 30 years, your voice, your morning. John McKenzie's morning, only on 4CA 846.
Look, no surprises here in this article in the Post today for listeners to this program anyway, but those who, of course, hang on every word from Carl Grizzle, Nicky, or Professor Tim Flannery or whatever, will be shocked. It's not that long since Carl Krizelnicki was in this town. So, oh, well, the whole barrier reef's gone by 2020. And basically, the barrier reef as we know it is finished, and we had just recently Professor Tim Flannery up here swimming out off Port Douglas or diving out of Port Douglas, and I've been reduced to tears by the catastrophic destruction I saw out there on the barrier reef from the bleaching event today. The Cairns Post reads thus: a new video has shown one of the Far North's most popular reefs has almost fully recovered from what was described as the worst coral bleaching event in recent history. Quicksilver Group's environment and compliance manager and marine biologist Doug Baird said, coral on Agincourt Reef number 3 was well in the process of recovery from a bleaching event 6 months ago. He said, quote, it was a very robust reef going to the bleaching event. It was healthy. The water quality was good out here, he said. Well, we've heard in the recent past, Professor Peter Ridd, the marine geophysicist and head of intelligence systems and information at JCU, use similar language. I remember he said the water quality out here is not bad. So that's been good for our listeners to get a balance to this in this debate, which has just been raging for months. We've seen all the information going out internationally with the result. Some people arriving in Cairns saying, I'm not going to go to the Barrier Reef. It's gone, isn't it? I mean, quite clearly the effect of what I believe to be misinformation at best that's been put out there by the Green Movement internationally, I think it has been very destructive to the image of our barrier reef. I've got Professor Peter Ridd on the line to talk about this report in the Post today. Peter, good morning.
Morning.
Very interesting that now we've got probably what you would have forecast exactly some months ago. You've got the Agincourt Reef number 3, the one that they've used as an example here, well in the process of recovery from the bleaching event 6 months ago.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it is exactly what you'd predict, because this is exactly what happens every time that you get a bleaching event, that most of the time, most of the coral recovers fully. In some areas, yes, it does die, and it takes a few years for the coral to recover. But of course, you know, there were all these claims, and don't just blame the Greens, remember. You've got to also blame the scientific organisations that are making the basis for the extreme claims that the Greens may make. So it's a problem we've got with science at the moment, that you seem to have difficulty trusting a lot of what you hear coming out of the science organisations at the moment.
I use that term green movement very broadly, and I think there would be others who would agree that members of the scientific organisations could walk around with placards with the people in the green movement protests and meld in very, very easily. Can I just ask you about the future now? When you have exposés, if you like, this, from the people who are out there on the barrier reef, and this is a marine biologist himself in Doug Baird, do we get a counterbalance, if you like, in this ongoing debate, or will the Australian media, generally speaking, tend to ignore such reports as Doug Baird's?
Well, they will tend to ignore them, because it's not coming from a prestigious organisation such as the Australian Institute of Marine Science or the CSIRO. So, yes, it will be in the Cairns Post, but I don't know whether it will be, you know, in the Sydney Morning Herald or get onto the ABC News down in Melbourne or Sydney. But it is good that, you know, that this sort of thing is happening, and that the tourist industry is doing their own stuff. But in fact, it shouldn't be up to them to do this. It should be the scientific organisation should be also putting both sides of this argument. And, you know, you can argue at the moment that the scientific organisations are now advocates for a particular philosophy almost, and that there is a degree of ideology involved in this, which is a great shame.
Do you have other people similarly qualified to yourself who take a similar position to the one you've taken? I mean, some people listening to this program contact me and say, Peter Ridd is very courageous because he stands out there virtually on a limb by himself. It must be sometimes quite uncomfortable.
Well, it is uncomfortable. There's no doubt about that. And I've certainly been close to losing my job on occasions. But there are other scientists that are out there who may not be quite so public in their opinions, but there's certainly plenty out there. But I think there's also some other good news that's starting to happen, because this is not a problem that's just with the Great Barrier Reef. There are actually problems right throughout science, and I think this is actually being recognised even in the scientific community. I don't know whether I've read this out to you before, but in the biomedical area, we know we've got some big problems. So the editor of the best medical journal called The Lancet had this comment about science. She, if it, let me just read it to you. It
says, yeah, sure.
The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science has taken a turn towards darkness.
Mm.
Now, this is a comment coming from the editor of a very, very major medical journal, now where they're saying that there's big problems. Another scientist has said that because of this 50% of science which is not reproducible, we're probably spending in the United States alone, or wasting in the United States alone, $28 billion worth of research money. So this is in biomedical area, where there's not the ideological problems as well. So because this is starting to become accepted in science, that we actually do have a quality problem and a reproducibility problem, I think, and I'm hopeful that, you know, in 10 years' time, some of the difficulties we're having at the moment will be over, that we will actually get better quality science coming out of our science organisations, which is so important.
Now, just before we leave this matter of our barrier reef, which is of great concern to listeners of this program, now that we've got this turning, if you like, of the corner as far as the debate is concerned up here, do you expect, for example, I presume you believe this particular report about that recovery, would you suggest that recovery of that nature or similar to that would be now very much underway across the whole Northern Reef area?
Yep, that's exactly what you'd expect, because that's exactly what happens all the time. Bleaching is not an unusual phenomenon, in the same way as hot weather is not an unusual phenomenon, and this is what we'd expect.
Mm. Always good to talk to you, Peter. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Bye. Isn't this interesting? That's Professor Peter Ridd. Now, he's a marine geophysicist. He's the head of intelligent systems and information at James Cook University.